Rishus Rashi Yeshiva, distinguished Rabbanim, Talmidim of the Rav, and Talmidim of our Yeshiva. This morning we will have the opportunity to hear from Gedolei Torah in our Yeshiva who had a direct relationship with the Rav. Through their own individual experiences as close Talmidim, and in Rabbi Tversky's case, also as a grandson, they represent, in addition to their own personal relationship, the thousands of students of the Rav who are forever impacted by his words and personal contact. Standing here this morning on the Rav's 30th Yahrzeit, I represent a different group. Those who were too young to know the Rav personally, but who studied under his students. While I never witnessed the life of the Rav, I am a product of his legacy. One of the most famous presentations of Rabbi Soloveitchik was in his 1974 talk at Opinion Aben about the symposium of generations he feels each time he walked into a classroom, and I quote, "Whenever I start the shiur, the door opens. Another old man walks in and sits down. He is older than I am. His name is Reb Chaim Brisker. Then the door opens quietly again, and another old man comes in. He is older than Reb Chaim. He lived in the 17th century. What's his name? Shabsai Kohn, the famous Shach, who must be present when Dine Mamanis are being discussed. And then more visitors show up. Some visitors lived in the 11th century, some in the 12th, some in the 13th century. Some lived in antiquity, Rabbi Akiva, Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, the Ravid, Rashba, more and more come in. Come in. Of course, what do? I introduce them to my pupils. And the dialogue commences. The Rambam says something. The Ravid disagrees. A boy jumps up to defend the Rambam against the Ravid. Another jumps up with a new idea. The Rashba smiles gently. I try to analyze the young boy, what the young boy meant. Another boy intervenes. We call upon the Rabbeinu Tam to express his opinion. And suddenly, a symposium of generations comes into existence. While most of us have heard this description, especially now, it's important we do not take it for granted. There was a time when people could have never imagined the symposium of generations continuing into the future. There was a time when people were worried that our commitment to Talmud Torah, of perpetuating and building the grand edifice of our Mesorah, would end with generations past. Rav Schechter recently mentioned to me that in the early years when the Rav gave shiur in Boston and at YU, that students did not take notes. Why would they take notes? Who are they taking notes for? In Europe, they could raise Talmidei Chachamim, but in America? It was a generation that could not imagine even their own future. And yet here we are now. Our students have not stopped taking notes. Every shiur is recorded and put on YU Torah. We have countless publications ensuring that the symposium of generations continues into the future. The Gemara in Sukkah says that when a child learns to speak, you need to teach him Torah. And what is the first words of Torah that you're supposed to teach every single child? The Gemara says, the Pasuk, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Morasha kilas Yaakov. That Moshe commanded us the Torah, an inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. There are many foundational psukim in the Torah. Why start here? Why wouldn't we start at the beginning? Why not with all the stories of the Avos and Imos? Why does the Talmud present this verse as the starting point of Jewish education. And moreover, we can understand naturally why Torah is associated with Moshe at Har Sinai. But why is Morasha, our Mesorah, associated with Yaakov? What about all the other Avos? So I would suggest that there are two relationships contrasted in this pasuk. Tzivoy, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, is a commandment, while Morasha is the inheritance or heritage. Commandedness is precise, exacting, and focused on the details of Torah. Heritage, however, speaks to something broader. The lived experience, the feelings, the essential values that emerge organically from a life of Torah. The command is sufficient to require us to act, but heritage adds layers of meaning. Take Pesach, for example. We just experienced the Chag. There are rules for how we are to act on Seder night with measurements and strict requirements, the law. And then there's the experience of celebrating with your family and everything that is both unspoken and spoken, that is transmitted through a table filled with joy, with song, with recipes passed down from generation to generation. Tzivoy is our core commitment. Morasha is what gives it additional meaning, depth, and character. And the goal for every generation is not only to act according to the tzivoy, but to make the morasha one's own. So it's not just an inheritance, but your heritage as well. You add yourself to the story in the way that it's told, so that when you transmit it, it's part of yourself that you're giving over as well. Moshe is the lawgiver. He established for us the rules and regulations. Yaakov Avinu, as Rabbi Soloveitchik explains, was the first Jewish grandfather. He was the first of the Avos to transmit his spiritual legacy not just to his children, but to his grandchildren. Moreover, he had much to say, because he can speak about memories of his grandfather Avram and how he did chesed, and the way that his father Yitzchak would daven in the field. And he could bring the past into the future, transcend the generations, and perpetuate the Mesorah. The unchanging tzivoy we receive from Moshe, but the layers, ever-evolving meaning, and act of discovery within those commandments we received from Yaakov. This is our Morasha. In this yeshiva, we were forever transformed and blessed, not only as students of the Rav's Torah, but as heirs to the Rav's Morasha. The Rav carried with him all of his ancestors, his familial and spiritual ancestors, dating back to Yaakov Avinu, and brought them into the room of his shir, so that all of his Talmidim become part of his Mesorah family. And this is how I feel as a representative of the next generation, that the Rav is so much like our Jewish grandfather. He not only shared his insights into specific sugyot and Talmudic tractates, but brought us into his lived experience as a thoughtful, engaging, caring, sophisticated thought leader and Eved Hashem. He taught us not only how to understand our tradition, but how to bring that tradition into the world with courage and confidence, how to recognize God's hand in history and to respond positively to the manifold opportunities for Torah Judaism today, how Jews are bound by the covenant of fate and destiny, which moves us to reach out to all Jews in compassion and kindness, even as we work to build a better world for all. He taught us that a life of a Jew is a life of Talmud Torah, always always striving and pursuing to grow in our understanding of Torah's emes, which is the greatest way in which we encounter Hashem. By establishing the core values on which our entire community is built, our personal narrative continues to run through him, even 30 years after his passing. Just this past Friday, I was in Efrat to pay a shiva call to Rabbi Leo D. to share with him on behalf of every single person here how our feelings of love and support and our entire community are with him. And he told me that although he's never physically visited Yeshiva University, he considers himself a Talmud because all of his primary Rebbeim were Talmidim of Rabbi Soloveitchik. The Rav had thousands of Talmidim, but he had hundreds of thousands of Talmidim of Talmidim. And now that we're in the next generation afterwards, the numbers grow exponentially. There's a difference between commemorating a life and perpetuating a legacy. We're here today not just to commemorate a life, but to perpetuate a legacy. I remember after the Rav passed away, I was in Israel, a student of Mori Varabi, Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal. I remember Rabbi Mori delivering a hesped for the Rav in Beit Knesset Yeshurun. The place was packed. I couldn't even get in. I was outside by a window listening to Rav Lichtenstein. And Rav Lichtenstein was crying, "Avi, Avi, Hayinu Yisomim." The sense of being deprived of one's personal contact with their Rebbe is so painful, as I myself experienced when Rav Lichtenstein passed away. There's a real sense of being lost, of being orphaned. And the feeling from the Maspidim at that time was this real sense of profound loss, a loss that I'm sure continues to be felt by them today. And I am sure that they will agree that the 30th Yahrzeit is not just a time to reflect on the loss, but also a charge to continue teaching and spreading the Torah, the values, and the worldview of the Rav. And this is our mandate today. We are still taking notes. The Einiklach, the grand students, and the great grand students of Rabbi Soloveitchik will always be taking notes as we continue to expand, share, and develop Torah for future generations. The Rav described the Torah community, the Masorah community, as moving in two directions, as reaching back to encounter the Makor, the ultimate source, Hashem, and moving forward to reach our tachlis, our destiny. This sense of being deeply rooted and forward-focused is what we experience at Yeshiva every single day. Every day, a Rebbe walks into the classroom surrounded by students who could be their own children. And what does the Rebbe experience? What does the Rebbe see? He welcomes in a student who will one day be a father and a grandfather. Someone else grabs a seat. It is a future communal leader. Someone else walks into the room. It's next generation's innovators, educators, and leaders. The symposium of the generations does not just move backwards in time. It also moves forwards. And we are living testaments to that. We're sitting here in Lamport Auditorium, the place the Rav delivered his annual Yahrzeit lecture to a packed room, spellbound by his brilliance and insight. And look who's sitting here today, a packed room, commemorating the Rav's 30th Yahrzeit. Rabbi Soloveitchik showed us how to see beyond our classroom. He showed us that every time we teach Torah, we're engaged in a symposium of generations, where past, present, and future are in dialogue together. He showed us that our Mesorah is also about thinking ahead and not just bringing the past forward. And together, we all remain students in his classroom. May his memory be for a blessing.